Blog Talk Radio.
Bye.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. It's oldpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Louie, with Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft, a Song Arc with Richard and Neutron, and Double Helix with Athasian and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. Saturday, split between Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds, bringing you Bad Company, and Ecrasia with Captain B2 and Dan. And if you're looking for a little more edgy around, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturday mornings. Mondays are split between Hearts of L&P with Victoria Frost and New Chapters in the Black Lace Diaries with Mr. M and Mistress Frost. Tuesdays, Come Take a Walk on the Wild Side Days, featuring the Headliners Ball with Jeremy. Fridays are split between Crawling Into the Darkness with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturday mornings, join Aphasiana and Babla as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. Check out the contest and prompts for all our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang out for the fun. And good evening, Jean. How you doing?
Well, hello, Rex. I'm doing well, and how are you?
I'm just fine. How about that bit of funk right there?
Ain't that something else? I think Monkberry Moon Delight might be a good title for this song. What a repeat line. I was like, wow. Never heard it before, though, Rex. I got to say, I've never heard it before. And maybe,
damn.
When I read the lyrics earlier, and I'm going, I have no idea. But, yeah, never heard it before. See, I've led such a sheltered life. I just didn't know that about me.
Yeah, that came out 51 years ago, 1971.
Well, I was 9. I guess it wasn't what my mother was listening to at the time, so I don't remember it. Isn't that awful?
It was right before Wings got formed as well. So these are the first two albums McCartney put out right after the Beatles. And it was kind of funky, too. The first album, McCartney, that album with the bowl of cherries sitting on the table, that was supposed to be kind of a one-off solo project. And just like everybody else was supposed to do a solo project, then come back, refresh, and do some more Beatles records. But that didn't quite happen. And right after Let It Be came out, they were working on the Abbey Road album, getting the mix together for that to be put out. Mm-hmm. And then McCartney put out that one album right before the Abbey Road came out. And then John came back into the studio after agreeing to doing solo projects and getting out for about a year, and then coming back, and he said, "I want a divorce." And that kind of hit McCartney real hard. So he kind of packed it all up and split to his farm out in Scotland, where he wrote all of this music for Ram. And it was kind of a really bitter time in 1971, because he was shocked, and he was getting all the bad press. He and didn't say a word about the fact that it wasn't his decision or his fault that they broke up for good, but he took it all in stride. And this was the very first indie album that came out. He did it all by himself. He had a studio in his house in Scotland, so he got everything down music-wise, how he wanted to present it. And then he went to New York and put it down on vinyl. He met Denny Lane out there, who actually ended up moving in into Wings with him that very year. So they started touring as Wings not long after this.
a whole bunch of stuff there, right? That's really something. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I'm like you say, I run in between things, you know? And it's a strange place to be sometimes. But, yeah, never heard it. I knew Uncle Albert. I recognize that one.
And this Monkberry Moon Delight, if I remember correctly, was something he and the kids used to have fun with. Monkberry Moon Delight is supposed to kind of reference to milk.
Hmm. That's something. Yeah, see, I get an education every Sunday. So where was I? You know, but it works. It works. And it looks like a lot of other people had a sense of what it was. So I think that's pretty cool. Because it looks like you got quite a few poems referencing it. It's very cool. I like it. It's quiet tonight, isn't it? That room is like, gosh, wake up, everybody. Wake up.
You're the quickest step.
Oh,
literally.
What's that on? I didn't hear what you said.
I can hear the crickets chirping, literally. If I go outside, you'd be able to hear the crickets chirping.
Yeah, I'm sitting next to that window, right? Something like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, hang on a second. Let's see if I can get you. Here, check this out.
Are we outside?
Yes, we are.
Wow. You better get inside. I heard it's humid there.
They're a noisy crowd.
We don't want to melt. There'll be no melting tonight. None. That was last Wednesday. Not tonight. Yeah. Isn't that something? Yeah, that's pretty neat that you can go outside and do the show if you want. I mean, as long as you have access to everything, I think that's wonderful. I'm not proficient enough with my phone to do that. It's terrible.
It's all I've got to use, so it works.
You're good at it, though. You know, if you aren't good at it, it'd be a different story, but I understand, you know.
I'd be kind of in a crank to get things done.
It's something else. But at least you can be flexible with your surroundings, which is nice. See? If it wasn't too bad, I could go sit on the porch. I just have to carry my desktop with me.
It's pretty nice. I think it's about 74, maybe. Oh, let me check.
Yeah. No. 74 is not a bad temperature. Yeah.
I take that back. It's still 81.
It outside. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, my. Well, it looks like it's just you and me, Rex, so I guess we should get started.
Absolutely. That's why I brought a few extra goodies. We can have a bit of fun. Yes.
You just let me know when you want to use those, and we will. So let me see what I can find. I think that I will put this one up first. And I will keep this for to read, Mr. Rex. Okie dokie, whenever you're ready.
Little Shortened Appalachian Pine by Myriad Dark. And this very much looks like a... but I'm not going to sing it. Couldn't do it. So I set up the light fantastic, kinetic as the rose, when Edward Heath wore a socialist stigmata, expose, alma mater. When I heard the crack of whipped cream on my clothes, and the hound of the Basker Dilly Cum Lauder, bowl of chowder. Touch up, Mona Lisa, on a Honda, La Gioconda. Touch up, Mona Lisa, on a Honda, La Gioconda, by Gioconda, by Gioconda. On the concourse going down in flames, never on the up and up and going down, all the notes were flushed down the drain, curling up the toes and turning brown. I stared in horror as it unfurled right before my Ray Bolger eyes, two choristers jammed in a pickle barrel, choking on Mama's little shortening Appalachian pie. Hey, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho, little shortening Appalachian pie. Hey, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho, little shortening Appalachian pie. Hey, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho, little shortening Appalachian pie. Hey, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho, dum-de-dum-dum-dum. Hey, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho. Okay. Get the gist as it hit my wrist, showing off my slipshod far past the theta, agra zeta. Cause I am a cat's and jammer in an iron vest, no worse and certainly no better, no better, a go-getter. Touch up, catching mittens on a Honda, a Gioconda, a Gioconda, a Gioconda. Mama's little shortening Appalachian pie. Hey, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho. Mama's little shortening Appalachian pie. Hey, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho. Mama's little shortening Appalachian pie. Hey, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho. Wrap your lips around this, honey. Hey, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho, Dilly, ho. What the F is it? Screams Mama's little shortening Appalachian pie. Mama's little shortening Appalachian pie. Headphones. Well, we did.
I just
want to
know why you didn't
other,
sing it.
You heard McCartney's rendition of it. I can do the bits of the. I can't hit the high notes, especially all the stuff at the back end. No way. Because he used to take when he wanted his voice to get gravelly like that, the way he sang it, and he hit both ends, from the gravel end right up to the high notes at the back end. When he wanted it gravelly like that, he'd get into a song and he'd sing it until his throat was raw. Not really raw, but on that level, like he'd smoked five packs of cigarettes that day. So he got that real gritty tone to his voice.
Yeah.
Me? I can get some of the gritty, but I can't hit the high notes.
Yeah, makes a difference. Well, you know, as you were reading this, I'm like looking at it. I said, God, you know, and the only thing I have to go by is the one time I heard tonight's prompt and seeing the kind of looks, visually looks, like it lines up with the original. And as you were reading, I'm going, yeah.
So
and
I set
like,
up what Connecticut as a rose when Edward Heath wore a socialist stigmata. Expose on my master. When I heard the crack of whipped cream on my clothes and the hound of the basket Dilly come, Lorder, all the chatter. Touch up, Mona Lisa on a Honda. It's a nice little run of flavor, not to mention the thought that went into this.
You know, I was like, oh, well, I think that he really did nail this. And, I was like, well, I think he did, you know, so, but I kept looking at it. It looked like the format was correct, and, you know, that means that he would have, you know, hit it the way it was supposed to. So very clever and really well written. Clever, and it was just as, what's the word I want, kind of abstract as the original, you know? It just had this these lines that kind of went together, but you kind of go, huh, at first, and, you know, yeah. I think it was really well done. It was a great take on the original. Very nice job, Myriad, as always.
Oh, it was.
Myriad's
work. I don't think I could have thought of a little shortening Appalachian pie for the Monkberry Moon Delight angle on that, but it works, and did do a great a nice little funny bit with the Mona Lisa on a Honda, La Gioconda, was a great representation of the back end of that, and a little bit of funny. But he also hit something about the thing stuck in a barrel, and then he's got two choristers jammed in a pickle barrel, choking on mama's little short in an Appalachian pie. I like that. And there was a couple others. There's a portion where it hits on the original hits on Cats and Kittens. Cats and Kittens. This one it went with Catch Your Mittens, which was a nice ring of truth back to the original. So I did. This is funny, abstract, a little along those lines of nonsensical, but fun and playful.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was great. I mean, really nice job with it. Clever. Yep. And it had to be well thought out because, you know, he had to come up with the lines, you know, not just the rhyme scheme and the patterns on this. I mean, it was pretty cool. I don't know if I could have done it. I don't know. Very, very cool job. Okay. Well, let's just see what's happening.
Mommy, Appalachian pie.
You just like that. I can tell.
Hey,
it was something
about
it.
I couldn't have thought of a better turn of phrase to go over. From Monkberry Moon Delight to Mama's Appalachian Pie was just a damn.
Yeah, it really was. It was a good thing. Yeah, absolutely great.
He took the fun with the original, brought it forth 50 years.
yeah, that's something. Yeah, so that was enjoyable. Let's see. Check the phones. We're good. It's just you and me. So I'm going to read the next one by Ms. Betty Page. Well, I'm going to try to anyway. I guess we'll see how that works out. This is called Melodic Sweet Jam. Delightful melody, swimming deep in sticky jam. Symphonic, hypnotic, phantasmic, electric. Notes getting really high. Silver moonbeams, razor blades, cocaine numb, let's roller skate. Ferris wheels spinning swiftly in circles, merry-go-rounds of cotton candy skies, rainbow on sunsets, tropical minks, seductive gymnastics and so acrobatic, surfing wet waves of pleasure, within juicy pink lips you'll treasure, intoxicating every measure, orange sunshine skies, citrus, bubblegum, chewy, gentle bite, cherry-flavored lip gloss, smeared across faces, disco glamour, fine champagne glitz, passionate enchantment, luring when we kiss. In poetic melodies, strawberries divine, got me higher than cloud nine. Rhythmic sensual, so sublime, ride me dripping sweet cream, erotic nectar. Honey, I taste as I'll blow you divine. End of poem.
Great read, Jean. And
thanks.
Boy, this one's a nice, easy read between the lines if you get the sticky jam drift. This the heavy illusion of this was a really good time, especially sitting down back to the last two lines. But you know what the funny thing is? It had a little bit of sticky note to the original too with the way she played it out. And she don't ever go this route. It's always three-line haiku-type stanzas, yet this is a full-on drift, almost as a an in-the-moment blurb that walks itself naturally from the mind right to the paper. Now, I can't think of the right word for it. Damn. All right. You got to read it. What about you?
Sorry about that. I kind of got interrupted a little bit. I think, you know, this was a really cool write by Betty. I loved her use of color all throughout, you know, and she had interesting thoughts as well. I'm not sure how I would say they fit with the prompt, but I think it was a great piece. You know, this section here, where is it? Ferris wheels spinning swiftly in circles, merry-go-rounds of cotton candy skies, rainbow on sunsets, tropical mist. Seductive gymnastics and acrobatics, surfing wet waves of pleasure. You know, great imagery all the way through. She has you know, great use of color. She's got great imagery that takes your mind where she wants you to go. And I think that she really did a wonderful job. I think it was clever and well thought out. And, yeah, I kind of like this one. It's probably one of my favorites by Betty at this point, you know. It's, yeah, it's well done. So thank you, Betty.
I think it's because it's so outside the norm from her usual fare.
Right. Yeah, I think it's really a great piece. I'm working on it. I'm getting there. I had to type that comment, you know. Yes, I'm slow. But I am there. Let's see now. What is this one? Well, I can put this one up, Rex, but I can't read it. So I'll do my best. Listen, close.
Okay.
This one is by Peter Stallway. So if you'd be so kind.
Kanaka Tamata by Peter Stallway. Never got March there, soldier who lost his infancy, sense of wonder. Mountains all, weather white, but dreams obscene, naked subconscious. Art of anchored loss, pirate bark to steal a spot, call it mine. Cantata, tamata, pasta and wine in Italy, meeting a man, 203. Dead as all Caesars, now fortunately enter being so lonely. Young with friends, waterfalls on weekends, work on Mondays. Precise and neat, remembering cantatas, bananas, every name in that street. End poem. Another
nice read, Jack.
This one's definitely on the abstract angle that Peter rolled with this one. The cantatas. It's kind of a note to being useful in the day. And hitting on everything that one can offer up as flavor taste, the sort of a pasta and wine in Italy, young with friends, waterfalls and weekends, work on Mondays. Still enjoying the weekends, but understanding, hey, I get to enjoy those things, but I have to actually work on Mondays to make sure weekends come around, I can actually enjoy those little tidbits, precise and neat, remembering cantatas, bananas, every name in that street. There's almost a musical note to the fact that you can walk in those streets long ago. You do remember all those names, the pretty girls, the bistros, the outdoor cafes, and the fun dancing in the streets.
Right.
Have you done that? Have you done that?
I think it was. Well,
danced in the streets?
No. I think I played her with you. Having a little trouble.
You reserved that tabletop?
Sure. I'm sorry, Ann.
I keep
trying. You reserved that for tabletop?
No. No. I don't have any visual with this poem.
I know.
Sadly.
I'm just teasing.
And I only caught a little bit of it, the poem itself. So I'm trying to, like... Just trying to go, So I have no idea, but she's going to make me lie. I don't want to lie, Rex. I can't. It's not good to do that. It's not good to do that.
That's all right.
But,
we can just move on to next one.
Yeah. I think that's probably the safest thing because I don't want to say any silly stuff. Which one?
How about Three Legs?
Hidoki, I hope I have it like labeled that way. Okay, I got it. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. Oh, wait. I almost hit the wrong one. That would be bad.
Well, when I walk, on my horse upon the hill.
When I walk my horse upon the hill.
Well, when I walk. Love me too. I dog is here. Dog is here. Dog is here. Got one.
Left behind, left behind, catch up, just catch up.
Ompa. My story, my delight. Yeah. Ompa. Catch up, just catch up. Don't get left behind. Left behind. Catch up, just catch up. Oh, it works glorious, weaving memories. Among three moons of light, off on a wonderful flight. Catch up, just catch up. Don't get left behind. Catch up, just catch up. Oompa. Ah. Oompa. Among three moons of light, oompa. And catch up, just catch up. Don't get left behind. Catch up. Lethal life, lit with wife. Monk, my moon delight. She's my sweet insight. Catch up. Don't get left behind. Catch up. Oh, monk, my moon delight. Oompa. Monk, my moon delight. Oompa. Catch up. Don't get left behind. Catch up. Monkberry moon delight. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Monkberry moon delight. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Don't get left behind. Catch up. End poem.
Great read, Gene. Damn. I think that's the longest piece you've ever written. It's got to be.
Well, maybe.
There's a nice script. Rain kept a note to the original, but he turned it out a little bit. Right in the medallion, Fox stands in. Two youngsters in the barrel exited, grabs the monster, the monkberry moon delight. Lustful eyes, speaking lies, locked in ties of happy vibes. Ah, I think the monkberry moon delight here was kind of a nice reference to kids in the mountain getting onto some of that moonshine and enjoying themselves and spending their life together, because where was it? A little further down, lethal life, lit with wife, monkberry moon delight, she's my sweet insight. Ah, yes, that monkberry moon delight turns you on to everything that you now have possibilities with. That lethal life, lit with wife, ooh, you guys are hitting on the good stuff on the mountain. On that Mountain Dew, living large in the moment.
Right.
I like this. Another one along that line of playing with the original and having it your own way. All right, Gene, you got to read it.
Yes, I did. I picked it up and I put it there and I went, oh, my. I thought it was a great piece in that prompt. I really did. Like you said, it lined up with the original, and it kept that thought, is what I mean by that. I'm not sure, otherwise how it lines up, but, I would have to, go back and look again. But I thought it was very well done, and it was an enjoyable read and, a great write. So I think that Rain did it, captured this really well. It had a good parody feel to it. I don't think it was note for note, but I think it really, it really carried something from the original into it, and I think that says a lot. So well done, Rain. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, I think we got at least one more along the lines of a parody, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure I read everything. Yeah, you better be reading them. And I'm like, kidding. I'm just being bad. I can't wait to fall over all those little pop, you know, going, oh, no. Okay, so where are we now?
What's funny is the difference between that one and the previous one was those umpas brought in with this one, and that's part of the background with the background singers on the original, which was a nice touch, and separated the two as being equal, but that much more different.
Right. I think I agree. Mhm. The I think the lines in the prompt itself were longer. But
yes,
there's a lot of similarities. like, you know, the lines are longer in the original. And the first one that you read by Myriad, I think, was a great reflection of that prompt, but it was closer to the longer lines. This one, I think, was a great reflection of the prompt, but it has shorter lines. So it's not that it was not right. I think it was just as great of a capture, just in a different, like, little bit of a format to it. It wasn't quite a parody, but it really had that flavor running through it, and I think that's what I liked about it. Yeah, pretty clever. Man, I have to write me a poem with some oompa-pas in it.
You might have to force yourself to do something for Rod.
You think?
Well, I've got Maggie Mays in there. Tonight's the night. What else have I got?
I think some,
you're in
some
my
real good ones.
All of these his greatest tunes that all back in the day, the women loved Rod Stewart.
Oh, yes.
There's something about his voice.
There should be a lot of really good stuff to choose from for next week. I have to look at that. I might be too busy singing to write anything. I'd be singing along with the music, you know. But there were so many good ones to choose from that that specific time, and Rod Stewart was wonderful in his time, you know, in his space, you know, he had a space. And
he's touring now,
yeah.
As a matter of fact.
Is he?
Yeah, he's supposed to be in Charlotte next month, I think.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. Very cool. I think that'd be a great contest for next week. You know, that's the fun of doing the music thing. You can kind of bounce all over the place, you know, because there's so much to choose from. Like tonight's fun. Like I said, I've never heard of them. I heard of the prompt, so it's like, oh, God, I don't know. You know, I feel kind of lost. But you know what? There's other people out there that know exactly what it is, you know, and just what you've been exposed to, you know. And I think that's kind of neat, you know. You just never know. You know, I was that girl hanging out with people listening to King Crimson. You know, I'm listening to Rod Stewart, and somebody else is listening to the Rolling Stones, and, you know, they got Led Zeppelin over here, and this one over here, like, yes, and I was, like, quite in the middle of all that with everything surrounding me, and it was like, okay. And, you know, I kind of did it. I didn't mind any of it, you know? It's kind of funny. Kind of funny. Yeah. I maybe looking at me like, what the hell's wrong with you? And I'd be like, what do you mean what's wrong with me? Nothing's wrong with me. What's wrong with you? You know, well, we'd all laugh about it. You know,
well, it's like the same thing with the two cellos. That was a different play, but
that was
everybody got a kick out of working with it.
That was really an awesome kind of contest because it was so different, but it was so relatable with their music choices. You know, the cello is what made it so different. But they were playing wonderful music, you know. It's like,
they're a pair of wild boys.
Yeah. It's like when I was, oh, gosh. Now my brain's going to give that on me. Hang on, I'm having a minute. I'm having a moment. I'm having a couple of moments. I don't want to lie. I'm having a couple of moments. But, oh, God, you know. I hate when I can't come up with a name. Oh, never mind. I'll just grab it later. It's okay. Anyway, I don't know. I was going to talk about something, but then the whole thing went out of my head. So, but yeah, it's always intriguing to hear music like that in a different way. There's a girl who plays the violin who's like that. She plays that all different genres of
music. Well, I've seen
violin.
A couple of
really awesome.
Where she's featured with her housing from two cellos.
Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty amazing. And, you know, it's nice to hear something different. It's kind of refreshing, you know. you're familiar with the song, but when you hear it in a violin or in a cello, it just kind of takes it somewhere else in your mind. And it makes it very relatable. It can turn people onto the instrument, you know, and to the actual the cello or the violin or the piano or the, you know, whatever. It just puts it in a different light, you know, because of the song choices. And I think it's wonderful. I really do. I think that's pretty cool, actually. That is pretty damn cool. I like that. I even cussed online. I cussed on the air. You hear that? I'm going to write that down on the calendar. Don't tell Phil, though. She's a pain in the ass. Ooh. Oh, no. She didn't hear that. Okay. I'm putting up another piece, Rex. But this one's for you to read. This brings me to you. So here we go.
All right. Uh-huh. As I was scrolling along one day, by Lawrence, 67. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie Alfie. Whoa. Alfie, you're scrolling too fast. Look, there's rhythm and rhyme. Stop, Alfie. Where? Rex is my boy. Back up. Back up. That's a haiku contest. A haiku? Back up some more. Here? No. No. That's a word bank prompt. Word? Word. Fist bump. Shoo. Pow. Back up just a bit behind that one word brevity contest for badasses. Us? Yeah, buddy. That's what I'm talking about. Give me five, Alfie. Up high. Down low. Too slow. Stop. Stop. This is it. Can I help you, gentlemen? Hey, Nigel. Pam don't recognize us. She must be losing her eyesight. Let's mess with her. Yes, ma'am. We are here to see our boy, the Rexter. I'm the Duke of Earl, and he's the Duke of Dookie. That voice is so familiar. It's Nigel and Alfie. Oh, shit. Alfie, run, run. Bam. Come on, feet, mobile. Yikes. I told you two sons of biscuits, no appointment, rule breaking hooligans, that next time, stiletto time, bam. Damn, that Pam ain't no joke. That had to be fit feet. Damn. Oh, my aching head. Oh. Come on, Alfie. Let's go put this ice on it.
Oh.
And phone.
Oh, my God. Oh, what a piece. What a piece. I like the whole beginning of this.
Yeah, it took you guys a long time to I'm sorry, Ben.
Yeah, I thought that was just very original, and that's what I can say about all the things I've seen from Lauren 67. The backing up and going forward and trying to get to the contest. I found that very humorous. I really did. No, back up, back up. Here, no, that's a haiku contest. Haiku? Back up some more. Here, no, that's a word bank prompt. It was pretty funny. I got to say, I thought that was pretty funny. So, nice work, Lauren 67. Thanks for sharing it. Thanks for the chuckle. Poor Pam. Pam's going to get him. Mm-hmm. Got more than a headache coming.
That's going back a few weeks to another one where she threw a stiletto at him while he was singing on a fence. Kind of just splattered.
Oh, my God.
the funny thing is, let's see. Lawrence has been doing this now for, must be close on 2 years with us. Started out with me and Luna. Luna didn't get it at first either until I explained a little thing and why I found it so funny. It's the dryness in it and how it comes across that really tickles the funny bone, so to speak. And Lawrence plays a good game now. He runs me and Pam in it or somebody else. And just enjoys himself. And it's always about his usually nice little fat cat in Alfie, so it's always got a little bit of kind of slapstick humor.
The first time I read one of these pieces, I was like, what? Huh? I was like totally lost. And I stayed totally lost until the first time I heard you read it. And then all of a sudden I was like, okay, I'm kind of getting this. So, you know, it's kind of growing on me a little bit. And I don't want to sound like I'm being a smartass. I really was lost in the beginning. But this one here really, really did crack me up. And so I think I'm catching up with things. You know, who says you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Oh, see? Never know. Ah, see. Yeah, even howled on a Sunday night. Oh, my God. Female.
Don't get left behind.
Yeah, there you go. Am I rolling into the very next one? Because I can do
it. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, here we go. I just want to rush you because I know you had other music out there, and I don't want to, you know, just assume. So here we go. This one is called A Cat's Notes 2 by Jack Blue. Chilling about. Let me check, make sure we're by ourselves. Okay. Still no one on the horizon, but it's all right. Let's see what we have. Okay, here we go. Let my blue piano play a great cantata if I stray. From its elegant clavier, stumble on the chandelier and sashay round the roof to discover spaces. Let my blue piano play a mad sonata for today when I dream of wandering on the violoncello string to find a single melody for the universal glee. Let my blue piano play a sweet partita. If I bray vacantly appassionato or silently fortissimo, as some lonely oboes soar in the bleak orchestral score. And so,
great reaching. Thank you very much. Yeah, that was filled with a few words for you to play with.
Yeah, I was like, darn, I would have gone to the other one, you see, and left you with this one. No, I thought, I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. See how they do me? Ah! But no, it has to be someone. Just a little here, a little there. But it's all good, I guess.
Well, I like the note with the blue piano, but he drops in a couple of extra notes, even though it's the thought with a cat notes number 2. He also drops in that last stanza, a sweet partita if I bray, a little note to his donkey. And
right.
And sashay around the roof, a nice note there to a cat in a hot tin roof. I like that. And what else we got? A mad sonata for today. It's kind of a note to, I can't remember, Brahms, maybe. When I dream of wandering on the violoncello string to find a single melody for the universal glee, and note to the flavor of music itself and how it relates to everybody who cares to listen. There's a note to something within music that somebody can gravitate to, which speaks to them. And since you read it, what about you?
I think. you know, I thought it was nicely penned, and I thought I liked the. I thought the musical references were enjoyable throughout. You know, I couldn't pronounce here and there. It was okay. I thought they were still enjoyable, and I thought it carried a great tone throughout the whole piece. And that's usually part of what I like about Luke's work. Between his color references and his musical references, I usually get drawn in because I always find that to be somewhat soothing in thought, you know. And this really was no exception to that. I mean, as I say, you know, I stumbled on a couple of words, and a couple of them, it's like I was like, but I kind of knew what they were, so it was okay, you know? Just trying to spit them out of my mouth was a little difficult. But definitely, really, you know, I was tripping over my eye teeth, you know. My eye teeth, yeah, they couldn't see where the hell they were going. But it was definitely a really, really nicely done piece, and I enjoyed it. So I want to thank you, Luke, for sharing with us as always. It's always a pleasure to read your work.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay. So let me just see now. Where are we going now? Well, we're not going there because we've been there already. Okay. Let me see what this is. I think it's, okay, Rex, this is like, I think I'm giving this one to you. Not for any specific reason, except for I want to sit back and chuckle, I think. Here we go. Whenever you're ready.
From drinking milk to eating bananas, Lord of Beans. Surrendering by the dependency of truth, I was only feeling like a raw youth. My heart was tied to the ground like a kite and used to sleep under the flag at night. My friends immigrated to Canada. I got as bony as a banana. So I drank milk for breakfast every day and got the energy of banana milk to play. I drank my daily milk before the flight till a vomit got my internal fight. It was my confession of stomach. It was like I practiced with a trumpet. My friends immigrated to Canada. I got as bony as a banana. So I drank milk for breakfast every day and got the energy of banana milk to play. I drank milk before boarding the ship. Undoubtedly, it was my worst long trip. I got seasick and my bowels were dancing. I was being tortured, but not for confessing. My friends immigrated to Canada. I got as bony as a banana. So I drank milk for breakfast every day and got the energy of banana milk to play. I drank milk as usual and traveled by bus, but my stomach made no incubus. I oathed my stomach had no remorse, because the ground beneath me was like a nurse. Yeah, I grew up and stopped drinking my milk. Now I eat bananas instead to drink. Forever and ever, I don't use them together. I have the habit of preferring one over the other. And poem. We're having comedic tones tonight.
Well, this is very different. Very different. I think that lactose intolerance comes to mind. You know, some lactate pills. Bananas, you know, it's okay. As long as the bananas aren't affecting, stick with them. I think that's a good idea. Very, very clever thought at the end there. Just stay with the bananas. I don't really know how to comment past that. I really don't. I don't know. I don't know. And I have to apologize for that because I'm just not creative enough to even attempt it. So, Rex,
I think you're on the right track because he hits on what was it? That's third one. I drank milk before boarding the ship. Undoubtedly, it's my worst long trip. And then I drank milk as usual and traveled by the bus. The idea of then he got he also had that. Second one, drinking milk before a flight. There might be a note to a nervous stomach and the thought of drinking milk to help calm the nervous stomach. Yes, while taking the trip, whether he was flying on a ship or traveling by bus, they churned enough together that it always made him sick. So now the thought in the back end is, now I eat bananas instead to drink forever and ever. I don't use them together. I have the habit of preferring one over the other. The idea is to eat bananas because they're high in potassium, and that's great for the body. But obviously, they didn't mix too well within his roiling and churning stomach, and it always came up worse for wear.
Right. Mm. I believe you because you say it's true. I just lost. I mean, whatever works.
I'll tell you what, we've gone around the bend with a few things. A lot of different angles mm-hmm. played out.
Yes, we have. Of that, you tell no lies. At all.
On that, that note, why don't we do Smile Away? Because there's a nice funny tone in that one, too.
You got it. Here we go. Dun, 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 dun.
One, two, three, four.
I brought a couple of funny goods.
You always bring unique stuff, Rex. There's no doubt about that. I started listening. I said, I better pull up these lyrics because, you know, I always miss stuff. And I put it up, and I'm going, okay. Now we're talking about smelly feet and smelly breath and smelly feet. And I'm going, wee. But all the rest of it was, you know, just bouncy, you know. I don't know. I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny. So that was a good choice, I guess, because it made me smile away. See?
Yeah, hence the name of the song, Smile Away, yeah. Smile away down the street, a mile away from me with your feet.
Yeah, I realize I'm going, what did he say? What did he say? Let me pull it up. Oh, he's talking about smelly feet. And I said, oh, smelly breath. Okay. It was fun. Funny choice, man. Funny choice. Absolutely. What's your take on that one, Rex? Anything good?
Oh, I love it. It's just, it's playful. It's just, especially with that that little motif with the guitar coming, do-do-do-do-do-do, in the middle of twice. It was a nice touch with that. Otherwise, it was something to laugh at or laugh with.
Absolutely.
Kind of a note that everybody's come across at least one person like that in their life.
And I bet you they drink milk and eat bananas, too. Just saying.
Yes.
See? We can combine all this up. We could. It could be interesting. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, good stuff. It's all good, man. It's all good. So, let me see now. I think that I am going to put up a piece by Pam Wright. Since she did not bother to call us tonight, I'm going to mutilate it for her. No, I'm only kidding. I'm going to try not to. So hopefully I can stay with the thought here. So it's all good. This is called The Dance in the Sky and the Cot in the Corner by Pam Wright. Huckleberry Finn is dancing in the sky, living the imposter's dream, making March melodies on dark December days, where winter wanders in its woebegone ways. The bats in the belfry, the girls in hula hoop skirts, all sing for a copper or two, where and whimsy with tether cord flimsy. They understand the man with the blues. Doesn't really matter if the song's on a platter, the notes have a communal riot, and all is quiet on the frontier of the quirky and queer. I'm aimlessly lost in a rise of my size, remembering past days was a melancholy haze. Too bad, so sad, we couldn't spend the rest of our ways, being glad to know, to flow and grow, the lawn full of flowers, an unfenced fate, of fully fluent, flourishing flames. And the polka music plays, and the accordion bends, and Mr. Twister can't resist her, the last dance in Wabasa. To where, when, and how that bounces the belly and sticks in the craw of the buffalo gals. And their sin-hearted pals and fields governed by clover and throes. The questions often asked are no easy task, not but the nodding of names are seen in deep waters of washing board wells, whittling wood into wishes. Will I ever hear the music of the lovesick mistress, and do I really want to? No, definitely not. And life is a cot where we lay in the corner, contemplating nothing but everything and that ever felt zany in the zoo of the zipper set free. End poem.
That's the second long one tonight you read. Great read, Gene. Thank you very much.
And Pam took a
couple of lines to heart. So I scooted my stomach in a knot, staring at that horrible sight of two youngsters in a barrel, smoking monkberry moon delight. And I leave my pajamas to Billy Budapest, and I don't get the gist of your letter. Okay. Well, kind of hits on that. It starts off with Huckleberry Finn. There's that note of something, what's it? Huck Finn, notes to old times, where you could dream on the banks of the Mississippi. But then she opened up the second stanza, Bats in the Belfry. The girls in hula hoop skirts all sing for a copper or two. Wearing whimsy with the tether cords flimsy, they understand the man with the blues. Crazy hula hoops singing for a copper or two. That kind of paints a sad note to work in the streets. And I'm aimlessly lost in the rise of my size, remembering past days with a melancholy haze. Again, that referred back in time, Huckleberry Finn. And then she brings some polka music. Damn, Wisconsin, that polka music. The last dance of Wabasa, the where, when, and how, that bounce of the belly and sticks in the crawl of the buffalo gals in that thin hearted palace in fields governed by clover and crows. Yeah, somebody's been out rolling in the hay.
Yeah.
In the zoo of the different tree. Yes. This is getting rowdy, getting drunk, and rolling in lots of hay. What about you?
Well, you know, I thought it was, Pam's work, you know, depending on what she's talking about, is always interesting. This, I thought, was a wonderful bit of an abstract piece, you know, but each stanza has its own little space. It's got its own little separate tale, you know. You know, she starts out with the Huckleberry Finn and dancing in the sky and, you know, December days where winter wanders and it's woebegone ways. I thought I was a goner as soon as I got to the first tongue twister. You know, no. But you know, the next stanza she goes somewhere else. Like she kind of corrals it in and gives you another piece, you know, to the puzzle. And definitely, like, great imagery, and I love the use of alliteration throughout, but really clever. And I have to say, when I got down to the very end, chuckled to myself as I was reading the last stanza. No, definitely not, and life is a cot where we lay in the corner, contemplating nothing but everything that ever felt zany in the zoo of the zipper set free. Okay, bam. You know, I mean, a lot of they could go many places that zipper set free. In the AM, so he stood with my stomach in a knot, starting after the horrible sight of two youngsters in a barrel smoking Monkberry Delight. And I'll leave my pajamas to Billy Budapest, and I don't get the gist of your letter. Okay, there you go. I think it sums up the whole poem there. Somehow, it does. It does. Just does. She has a lot that she's bowing to, you know, like putting it out there, these tidbits and pieces and parts. And I do believe that the alliteration really set each one off in its own way, and I think that it was clever. And it was just everywhere, you know, all at the same time, and I thought it was great. So, again, a very, very, very clever stuff. Like it so much. Really amazing.
I think you skipped one up near the top, one from Time Teller.
Maybe. You could be correct there. Yes, I think I did. I was going to give that to you first, and I saw it, and I gave you Myriad Dark and Spit. So, yes, I did. I bounced. Good catch. Good catch. You're saying, Regina, how can we have carryovers? And I'll be going, I don't know. So, but anyway, I'm going to put Time Teller up for you. So here we go.
Okay. Old School Fates by Time Teller. Crash that harpsichord into that half-empty glass. Come on, buddy, drink up, drink up. We're miles ahead. the old school fate. Mr. Blue Sky is out to play, and their hammers are making banging love to the ivories. Collapsing like boneless flesh, crowded house of onlookers, looking in, looking in. Twanging strings, metal reverberations, wire cutter that cuts bit by bit till a crunch and snap, 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 as dogs twist around and bite the judge, pinning a rosette of potential. Punch those keys in compliance like scaling prison walls, the bassists and drummers jangle keys of march around the format like guards. Counterpoint not allowed, never the right beat. Syncopate and frustrate the cadenza by formula and algebraic cognitive. Kindness that complains when pushed way too far and the swing goes round over the top. Whack the rat, gambling from which hole, and the tombola has them guessing which way to turn. Hammer that piano into bits, cheers of onlookers, gobble at the sight of splinters and fractured grain. The clock is ticking and laughter chatters above the bogging dog show, as distant thuds on piano wood ricochet and echo into the marquee where flower-bite judges and craftiness demonically disembowel those eager to please. Make-believe, jing-jing, gang-gang, gang-gang, gooly-gooly. What you doing so far over that bridge? Don't they see? It's harmonious, harmonically harmonica humming, birds and bees. Crumpets and tea, coffee and cake, cadenzas no longer free. Crash that piano mid-flight or that organ. It's sinking on a ferry where chance anchors the depths of cuts and kicks and punches below bellies and knees. Designed to loose the cannonballs away from the cannon, yet reality, T-T-T, reality, makes it personal. Personality, T-T-T, paw for birdie, walk the walk, around, its ego fragile as the shortest green. Choke the competition unlevel, leveling up is like all those missing bees. It's hard and cutthroat, war and hate behind a fake facade of veneer. This pub is stinking, the millionaires are overthinking, like pirates that haunt the barrels of beer. And shoot at them can help us fire the cannon. It's too easy as it is on me. And this glass has a harpsichord in it, twanging metallic moodiness that ripples the opaqueness of light. Blinded Manfreds, so run, 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 like a band to the east, to the green, that runs a seaside pier, 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 pressured by the helpless complaint of being pushed away, yet they only ever saw straight jackets inhaling to much too close, too close, too close to see. And the old school fate has daredevils parachuting into no-go zones of health and safety, bringing us into old age, ages where glasses see people across the bar, gin, whiskey, brandy, cider, and Guinness snake-bite students that supposedly believed in free, and the world around them, for them, will always be. And poem. All right, Gene.
Great readback.
Damn.
It was an intriguing piece all the way through. Lots of wonderful imagery, and it was just a lot. You know me, I'm very slow. There's a lot here. The clock is ticking and laughter chatters above the barking dog show. As distant thuds on piano wood ricochet and echo into the marquee, where the flowers bite judges and craftiness demonically disemboweled those eager to please. Like, it's everywhere. The references to the piano, I think there's more than one of those, aren't there? Where it was, let me see.
Yeah, you got the harpsichord, you got the piano, you got the cadences, the organs. It dipped into the angle within it.
All kinds of instruments, but there's a mention of keys, you know, and their hammers are making banging love to the ivories. And then, you know, down here, where is it? It was just so much. But definitely interesting, and a lot of great instrumental references. It kind of had me going, hammer that piano into bits, you know, and there's the piano wood. And I had an image in my head because I actually had a picture of broken up piano at one point, saved. I think I still do because I used it with a piece from long ago. I crashed that piano mid-flight or that organ. You know, he's like, wow, what'd that piano do to him? That's what I want to know. But it's really, yeah. I mean, good heavens to Betsy. And, you know, the dog show was an interesting thing at the very beginning, and then it went into this musical thing. And I don't know. It's just, I don't know, another wonderfully abstract piece. Just a lot of things going on all over. You know, leveling up is like all those missing bees. I don't know. It's got just all this little stuff. These little tidbits, you know, to follow and to gather, you know, and put together. And I think that that's what makes it intriguing and fun, you know. You know, it's talking about the pub is thinking, the millionaires are overthinking. Like pirates, they haunt the barrels of beer. I don't know. It just, I find it just clever. Just clever. And, you know, more power to him. I wish he was here to explain it to us, really. Like, you know, what his thoughts were, you know, this set of words and that set of words and how he was pulling them together in his mind. But, yeah, great job, Time Teller. Clever. Clever stuff. Come on, Rex, give me what you've got on this one.
I think it's a blistering rebuke of what we've become. Because you hit on that one thing where it said, the clock is ticking and laughter chatters above the barking dog show. The barking dog show, the world as we see it now. That thought with the pirates and shooting him as in a barrel, the millionaires being pirates, and shooting him as in a sitting in a barrel. Again, pointing fingers up the ladder. There's so much little references. Whack the rat, gambling from which hole? And the trombone has them guessing which way to turn. The rats being us again. Where do we turn now? Which way? And there's so much little tidbits looking at how things are working out on a daily basis, so to speak. The thought of, punch those keys in compliance, like scaling prison walls. Counterpoint never allowed, never the right beat. Syncopate and frustrated, condensed by formula, and now it's very cognitive. And there's a whole lot of plucky notes to misdirection, indirection, overbearance. And, hey, just bend over, grab your ankles, and take it like you're supposed to.
Ay, ay, ay.
I wasn't going to say that.
Wowzers. See, I never know what Rex is up to. Okay, you read that one, right? Let me look at this one. Yeah, I think I'm going to read this one. Do that one. Okay. Yeah. Jeremy. Hello, Jeremy. Well, so good I typed it in. Hello, Jeremy.
Yeah, he left out the eye. It was weird, Jeremy.
Let me see now. The one I'm going to put up is called The Nocturnal Poem by Badr? B-A-D-R?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Go ahead and mutilate that. Okay, here we go. Here's the night. Here's the atmosphere. Here's the stillness and the fresh air. And here's me drowning in despair. The night is without presence. Its calmness is almost monotonous. And you're not here to illuminate my existence. What's there to right now to elude my mind? If the whispers of stars are not heard and my thoughts drift away and not aligned, pitch darkness veils the night. This puzzle I live without your light is distressing, drowning me inside my heart. I die like a cold cricket that chirps inside me. My voice fades far away. It dissolves empty. But these words are winged poesy. Regardless, my voice on this came through, and your absence is not something new. And another poem was written on account of you. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. This is a little different. I like that opening note. Here's the night, here's the atmosphere. Here's the stillness and the fresh air. And here's me drowning in despair. But the night is without present. It's a nice note to a pure night of new moon where there's no moon at all except the purity of the blackness of the heavens. And he's offering up a sad note of not being able to offer up a happy note and singing to the presence of the moon. I like that book. A little different. What about you?
You know, I thought it was a lot of wonderful imagery there in this piece. And I think that the words, the emotions were nicely expressed. You know, the missing of the other person. And I like the talent. I love the last stanza. Put a different one to put in my comment. You know, pitch darkness veils the night. This puzzle I live without your light is distressing, drowning me inside my heart. Living without that person, you know, their light, you know, is pulling them down. But the last stanza, I really like that because it explains, it had in there about the poetry, and I thought that was nice. You know, regardless, my voice on this came through, and your absence is not something new. And another poem was written on account of you. So because of the distance, the space, that loss, the longing, you know, here that prompts him to write poetry. And I thought that was a nice way to end the piece in general, and nicely done. So thanks for sharing with us, Vidara. Great job. Clever piece. Absolutely. Okay. Well, Rex, aren't you going to ask somebody else to comment? Why is it always just me?
Wait a minute. Didn't I commented first?
I was being a smarty. But you're only asking me to comment. What's up with
I think we've only got, what, three pieces left, right?
Yeah, we got a couple, yeah. We have
why don't we do good. I got Perm from Hatter. And we've got Duncan Ross Bell at the bottom.
We're going to hit three. Yeah, we have Bill Schiller, someone Ross, and then Hatter, if you got that permission. So that's good. So do you want, want a song?
Too Many People, yeah.
Sure. Okay, here we go.
People paying for
Yeah.
Yep.
See, that was a little bit more normal for you.
Yeah, a little closer, yeah. Absolutely. I had to go pull up the language just to be sure I knew what I was looking at. Too many people sharing party lines, too many people never sleeping late, too many people paying parking fines, too many hungry people losing weight. Just not what you expect from good old Paul McCartney, you know. It's just so different. It's all so different. Clever, you know, different, all over the place, all in the same place, all at the same time. Go figure. You know, it just,
well, like I said, John took that as the meaning that was about him, but it wasn't. It was about getting out of London and away from the hubbub, the madness, and getting out to a little bit more countryfied atmosphere.
Right. I can understand that, how that totally fits in there. You know, it's like, get me out of the madness. You know, just let me just be gone from it. You know, I don't know. Just definitely different. Definitely different. Just amazing. And it ends on that mellow note of getting out of the craziness, you know, so that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Okay, Rex, I know you read the last one, but I'm going to have you read the next one, and then I'm going to read one, and then I'm going to have you read the last one. So I figure it'll balance. Here we go.
Uh-huh. Here we go, another bit of journeying. Cratered Ladles and Lunar Spoons by Bill Shiller. So I crouched in basement wearing just bib, waiting for bowl of soup. The living room couch claimed covers were too destitute. Empty, all prosperity, perished, just same as parents before me. Nothing to eat but silverware and sauces to cherish in their legacy. Rusted, dusted, flat busted, I put trust in old pot with steady handles. I slowly swept ground with fine linen and designer candles. It's not a lot, but take a shot, make it hot. Soon it'll all be forgot. Forgot, distraught, a wandering mind is tricked from what is taught. On wall, chalkboard, I sketched out menu water, salt, pepper, too. Pepper, I'm a pepper, she's a pepper. Would you like to be a pepper too? I grabbed an old ladle and spoons from the drawer of the utensil zoo. As stew simmered, my stomach growled with glimmer of hope. Positivity clings to me like a noose on the rope. The soup crumbled like gurgle of gas when one chokes. Choking, smoking with steam, poking fun at my grasp of gastronomy. I dip a ladle, intent to fill my Venetian bowl. The ladle retrieved nothing because it was too full of holes. Holes? Hell, hell's bells, holy bowls. Folly doesn't summon as much as it cajoles. I decided to eat direct from the pot, sitting under sky near my parking lot, slowly sipping each drop spoon by spoon. With mean moon over my head, I recalled with displeasing grimace and groan how in scriptures Jesus said, man shall not dine on bread alone. And poem.
Wow.
All right, Gene. I'll tell you what, we've had some great batches playing with the angle and having some abstract play within it as well.
Honest to God, I just keep looking. I hate to keep using the same word, abstract, but I don't know what else to call it. I mean, it really is. I mean, they're clever pieces. They're good pieces. I just don't know how else to describe them. I mean, this one here, I mean, I crouched in basement wearing just a bib, waiting for bowl of soup. The living room couch claimed cupboards were too destitute. Okay, so now the couch is talking. See? Okay, yeah. The all prosperity perished, just same as parents before me. nothing to eat but silverware and saucers to cherish was my legacy. I don't know. You know, and then on the wall chalkboard, it sketched out menu, water, salt, pepper, two, pepper. And then it goes, I'm a pepper, she's a pepper, would you like to be a pepper too? I about lost it when you were reading that because I'm going, okay. It's like a trip. I'm on a trip, man. You know, an interesting trip, might I say. But very, it's just clever and fun. And, like, you know, fun in the fact that I can find humor there. You know, and it's just interesting. But I think it was well written. Then it goes, what's this? The ladle retrieved nothing because it was too full of holes. Holes. Hell, hell's bells. Holy bowls, folly. I'm like, okay. You know, totally unique piece. And, you know, he carried that thought all the way through, and I thought it was definitely intriguing. So, Bill, I got to say, you know, nice piece here, and I think that it kind of fits in with this music that Rex has been having me listen to. I think somehow it all falls together. And I don't mean that to be mean in any sense of the way. I think it's pretty cool, actually. So, stay tuned, and thank you.
Yeah, the parody angles have worked out really well tonight. They put some meat and bones in the pot, so to speak, with the rights they've done, which has been really good. This one, again, kind of hits on that note of what's going on today with inflation going up to the point, hey, soup might be what everyone eats at some point before, hey, when we can't even get the goods to make a decent bowl of soup, then we'll be eating bugs. But it does hit on that note, especially that thought with the ladle, having holes in it. Yeah, it kind of paints the notion of money is just rolling out easily, and we're getting nothing for it in return. Nicely done, Bill. I like this. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okie dokie. I think you just want to see if I'm paying attention sometimes. That's what I think, Rick. I'm just saying.
I'm a hard ass. I know it.
Okay, here we go. The next one I'm going to read this one. It's a tad bit shorter than the other one. Just saying. This is called Paper Birds.
Oh, you finally get a short one.
Wave. Wait, yeah, I got one little short one. Shorter one. The Paper Birds 3, Waves and Puddles by Duncan Ross Bell. Paper birds in loose dimensions, sudden winds, breed loose direction. Lazy waves, pipeline injection. Flutter through a loss, pinprick deflation. Ashes on a stovetop, ears burned into a spoon. Jekyll eaten by a hide. Gutters for a doorstep, sputters for a slide. Gusts. Those arms are cushions, each vein is pain. Adrift through sadness, another sight insane. Why do they do this? Shit, here comes the rain. Paper birds in limbo, a path through the obscene. Snapshots of the vanquished, till flood dissolve the dream.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. That second stanza has me caught my attention. Flutter through a loss. Pinprick deflation, ashes on a stovepipe, years burned into a spoon. Jekyll eaten by a hide, gutters for a doorstep, stutters for a slide. Ooh, that's a nice painted note to heroin use at that point. Years burned into a spoon, Jekyll eaten by a hide, a note of the black tar being the hide and the scorched body. Being the Jekyll angle, those arms are cushions. Each vein is pain. Oof, there's quite the thought of, and then till flood dissolve the dream. It's kind of a note to that last push into the vein where the vanquished moves on forever. Oof. I like
right,
that, Duncan.
Right.
Thank you very much. What about Eugene? I got a Eugene in.
You know, I have. And that son of a gun's never around when I need him, so heck with him, you know, darn you, always playing. I have to agree with you about the second stanza. You know, I get that same vibe from it as well. And near the tail end of the first stanza, you know, lazy wave to pipeline injection. And then it goes into that. And then after the gust, it's those arms are cushions. Each vein is pain. Adrift through sadness, another sight insane. Why do they do this? Shit, here comes the rain. So I think you're really onto something with that, for sure. Not that you needed me to tell you that. But, you know, it just rolls into that at that point. And I think that it's pretty intriguing in that way, for not being too sure. And this one, it's kind of refreshing because it's not really abstract, which is nice for me because I can go, wow, I can see something easy. But I definitely agree with you there. I think that you kind of really are nailing something there with your comments. So excellent job, Duncan, and I appreciate you sharing with us for real. Yes.
Well, we got one more. We got some time. So we can do Uncle Albert.
Absolutely. Let me get that started. I can come back and finish this comment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, here we go. Ta-da.
We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. We're so sorry if we caused you any pain. We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. There's no one left at home, and I believe I'm gonna rain.
Well, looks like timing works perfectly tonight.
Yes, I think so. I think so. It's a great great choice of songs. Kind of fun, kind of interesting to me. Yes, definitely. Yeah, it was a good night. Everything did. It just all fell in place and it all timed out real nice. We have one poem left and 9 minutes to do it. I think that's pretty cool.
For a couple of minutes of shameless promotion amongst other things.
There you go. Yeah. Absolutely. Hi, Angus, by the way. Just in case you're listening, I'll say hello verbally. God, I thought I heard kids. I hope it was just squeaky hinge. We're hearing things now, Rex. Don't do that to me.
No. The cat decides to want to come in.
It sounds like a baby. It sounds like a little one. Okay. I'm going to put
Okay.
Yeah. And this is for you to read, of course, and it's by Jay Hatter. And I think that you're good to go.
There it is. A story that'll never be told by Jay Hatter. Sitting cross-legged in a pile of dust, I sneezed and a wind cried Mary. Picking out friends to never pretend, it's gotten just a little bit wearing. Captain's kid tried to forbid, but the air was as thick as cottage cheese. Ship brother's back, he's sure to relax while dropping down to his knees. Monkey butt blues and nothing is true, but I'll give him an pop. Don't leave him behind, he speaks in rhyme. He tends to talk a lot. Counting the poets, the ones that know it, a wizard of words beholds. Do you think we were friends where it all begins, in a story that'll never be told? And poem. Kind of walks along the lines of Alice in Wonderland a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Hatter has a way of touching on Alice in Wonderland a lot. I think just to suit his name, he's gotten a groove in that line of poetry. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think he does a wonderful job with it. So I think that it really works out.
Well, too, because he managed to get little Jimi Hendrix in The Wind Cried Mary. And then he put it
right.
But the air was as thick as cottage cheese. Now, that's some chunky stuff. And then dropped
right,
in monkey butt blues and nothing is true. But I'll give him an papa prop. So that's where I got that thought with Alice, the papa prop.
Right. Yeah. He's a wonderful way of writing rhyme and a wonderful way of doing the Alice in Wonderland, Mad Hatter kind of direction in a lot of his writes. And he can kind of just have you drifting over to it. He doesn't have to like go there directly. He just has that insinuation that runs through a lot of times. But I think that's pretty interesting, actually. You know.
Well, yeah, because he's got one of his pictures that rolls into that land.
Right, absolutely. I think that the image that he used on that piece is actually something he drew himself. He has. Yeah, he does a lot of good artwork. Definitely. But definitely a good piece in it and a great, my brain is shot. Telling you.
Must have been all that Monkey Moon Delight, that smile away, and three legs.
Yeah, it's crazy music. I've been listening to. My brain is just going blah, 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 blah. I can't deny it. But, definitely. I don't know, it's just a great piece all the way through. So, you know, good for Hatter. I'm glad he wrote for your show. But It was a great piece to add in. You know, he has a great love of music, so I'm sure he had something, you know, in mind with your punk. So, definitely. Very cool, very cool, very cool. Great line.
This has been a wonderful evening. I kept you to myself and all the madness that came along with that song and a couple of others. I'll tell you what, though. We got them all done. And we asked the music to sit there and have you ponder a little bit more on, oh, God, what did I get myself into?
Touche on that one. Absolutely.
Yeah, you thought Monkberry Moon Delight was bad, and then you had to listen to Three Legs and Smile Away. Oh, shit. Where are we going?
Where the hell are we going? It's kind of like being in the backseat of the car and having no idea.
And so you had two stranger ones to finish out with Too Many People and Uncle Albert.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, my God, yes, Uncle Albert. What a song that was. What a song that was. I remember being young. I don't know what age, you know. You give me a time when that album came out, maybe. And I remember sitting there going, oh, my God. They're playing it again. What? Keith's own is the man when he kissed his cow, you know? I mean, everybody has different tastes, but I remember sitting there being young and they would just, you know, oh, God, they would just put things over and over and over again on the radio, and I'd be going, oh, Lord have mercy. And I could give you quite a few names of different songs, not just that one, where I'd sit there and go, oh, hey, not again, you know? But it's all right, you know? For whoever. Well, what do we have? We have nothing after midnight tonight. What's tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow we have the Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wild Dove and Grey Eyes Smith, followed by After Midnight with Rex and Pam. And that's a wonderful thing. What do you have on After Midnight tomorrow night, Rex?
Lady Gaga quotes.
Oh, Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga. There you go. It was a good show. It was fun. I just, you know, like I said, I just was a little confused. But it's okay. Sometimes it's good to see me confused. That way you all know I am way human. Way, way human. But definitely fun. And, so I look forward to next Sunday. I look forward to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday,
Rod.
Friday, Saturday, too.
Rod Stewart.
What's that?
We're doing Rod
Stewart. I know Rod. Yeah, Rod. Mm-hmm. I have to check that out. See what you got up. See what I can find.
Yeah, I got to see
what I can
back
find.
In the day.
Well, two of my favorite songs by him, he didn't write, or he didn't, like, put out. Like, he did them, but he wasn't the original one to do
Which
them.
Which one?
So. Don't ask me. I don't know. I have to come up with names of them. You know, I'm a little slow like that. But
you like Maggie May?